Welcome. My name's Patricia King, and I have an exciting program to present to you today with a general in the faith. Her name is Dr. Gwen Shaw. She has been serving the Lord for years, and as you watch this program, she is actually in her 80s, and she's still going strong for Jesus. She is the founder of End Time Handmaidens and has raised up intercessors all around the world. She has been a missionary for years, seeing the signs and wonders of the Lord in every place that she has gone, and I love her. And she's got an outstanding message today on dying. She's going to teach us how to die. That's right. In fact, die to self, which is a really important thing to do. You know, a number of years ago, I was in my prayer time and the Lord gave me a download, a revelation concerning dying to self. And I didn't know that that was the outcome of the message, but the way that he showed it to me was, he said, I want to make you to be bread for others, that others might partake of the word of God in you. And he began to ask me questions like, what does it take to make bread? And of course, I used to make bread when I had time to bake. And I said, well, you put the flour and the yeast and the salt and everything in the bowl. He said, no. Before that, what happens before that? And he took me all the way back to when a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies. He said, you cannot be made bread for others unless you're willing to die to yourself, just like that corn of wheat dies and falls into the ground. But if it dies, then it can come forth. And when that seed, you know, is watered and it has warmth, it'll come up like a fresh, beautiful stalk of wheat. And I'm Canadian. I've driven across my nation many times and I've seen the actual wheat fields that are just glistening, mile after mile after mile after mile of golden wheat heads. They're so beautiful. And, you know, when they're mature, they actually bow. These golden heads bow, almost like bowing in the presence of the Lord. But, you know, even as beautiful as they are at that mature state, it's not ready to be made bread. Oh, no. In fact, what happens then is that a chaffing machine comes and you know, cuts it down. A harvester comes in, cuts it all down, and then goes through the chaffing machine and blows out all the dross. And so it goes through this refining process, even just at the time of harvest. It just gets cut down and the chaff blown out. But then it's still not ready to be made bread for others. No, it has to go through some grinding. It has to go to the grinder and it gets pulverized until it's really fine flour. But even flour itself can't stand alone. We cannot make bread with flour alone. There has to be other ingredients put into it, like the yeast and the salt and, you know, sometimes other ingredients like different kinds of grains and stuff like that you can add to it. But what happens when you start mixing all those ingredients together? There's a process that it takes to make bread. It's called kneading, where you take the dough and you fold it over and you knead it. And then finally you get this nice big lump of dough in the bowl and you set it to rise. And you just watch it rise and it gets all nice and fluffy. And in the bowl it rises and rises and rises until it's at least double, sometimes triple the size of the original. And then you know what? It's not ready for bread yet. Oh no, it's like, pooh, and you punch it down. But still, that's not the end of it. It's not ready to be made bread yet. Oh, no, no. In fact, sometimes you'll let it rise again and then punch it down again after it rises up. Does that sound like your life in any way? Like, do you see those processes at work where you've got this beautiful little seed that then dies and goes into the ground and then it springs up and then it gets beautiful mature again and then it gets chopped down through the threshing machine and then it gets kneaded with other ingredients after the grinding and you just get to a point where, I've made it. I'm feeling so good about myself, feeling so good about the ministry anointing and everything else about life, and then punch down, and then over and over again going through that process. Well, you know, every time the dough is left to rise, it gets lighter and it tastes better. So a couple of good punch downs and rising up again, it makes better bread. But then guess what? Yep, you take the knife to it. You take the knife and chop, 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 and you form and mold the loaves and put them in their separate little tins. Do you ever feel like that, like you're just being chopped up? But you know, that's an important process because you're being defined, you're being molded, and then you let it grow up and rise again in that tin, in that baking tin. And oh, what a sight that is when it's ready for what? The fire. That's right. Even when it's in its tin, all beautifully molded, risen up, puffed over the top, it's still not ready to eat. It has to go into the fire. That's right. And you probably know what fires are all about. But then when it comes out of the fire, that beautiful fragrance, that beautiful smell of fresh bread starts to fill not just the room it's being baked in, but the whole house. In fact, sometimes I've smelled bread baking for blocks away. And that's what God wants you to become. He wants you to become a fragrant aroma of the living bread. He wants you not to just speak something out of your mouth, but he wants you to become bread for others. He wants the fragrance of his love, the fragrance of his kindness to be given to the masses or to your sphere of influence. And you know, as beautiful as that fragrance is, it's still not ready quite to be eaten. It gets broken, doesn't it? Or it gets sliced. It gets broken to be fed to others. And so dying to self is an important process in order to have the life of Christ released in the fragrance that God has for us to release. We're going to go to Gwen Shaw right now, a mighty general that I honor tremendously in the faith. I love her. And you're going to be really, really blessed by this message.
But I believe that God wants us to understand that it isn't until we die to self and abandon all claim to our own personal will that God can take over in our lives and work out the eternal design he has for the blueprint in heaven. Even before I was conceived in my mother's womb, even before the world was created as we know it, God had a blueprint for my life and yours. God had it all planned and designed, and then when I was born, it was certainly a miracle of God that God could take me out of the situation I was in and make me a preacher, because I was born in a good German Mennonite family. And in our church, the women came in on one door and the men came in another door. And in our church, the women sat on one side of the church and the men sat at the other side of the church. And ne'er did the twain mix. In fact, you would have been very suspicious of you if you'd gone to sit with your husband. It was uncalled for. Women did not preach, except for teaching Sunday school classes. It was not permitted. And today I'm standing and preaching the gospel. My grandma never went to sleep. Never was a moment of her life without her head being covered, just in case she might want to pray. I love my grandma. But she always had her head covered except when she combed her hair. And then she put in a little braid, wrapped it around the back of her head. And I'm quite close to following her style. I never saw scissors near her head, believe me. She was a godly saint as ever I would meet anywhere in the world, and as ever I've ever met. And my grandpa was a prophet of God. He could prophesy, and he did prophesy concerning the end time. And I stood at his bed, a little girl. I remember I was about 6 years old when I heard him speak and saying, "The heavenly train has left heaven for me. Albert, addressing his youngest son, my uncle, will you get my Sunday suit out? I want to be dressed for mine Highland come for me. My Savior is coming for me now. He wanted to be dressed up and ready. He was a prophet going home. And he was already eating the heavenly fruit. Oh, he says, it smells so good. It tastes so good. I think there's areas that we as Pentecostals think we know more than others. When all we have is more freedom. But not more experience in God. And there's a difference with knowing God and having freedom. And we need to forget, that some of the things that we think are so spiritual are really fleshly manifestations of our liberty and freedom. There's a depth in God that is so deep that words don't need to be spoken at all. Where you can communicate with your eyes shut with another person standing beside you. Hallelujah. I believe God's going to take us into a new dimension. And we're going to step into it very, very soon. And some have already stepped into it. But it comes by the way of the crucified life. You can't come to this new resurrection experience except you be crucified with Christ. Now, crucifixion was the most horrible of all deaths. And it took a long time to die, sometimes even almost a week. They died ultimately of blood poisoning from the iron in their bloodstream. But Jesus did not die by being crucified. He gave his life. He released his spirit to God. And I believe it's possible today to release your spirit and let God take you home. In fact, I was at Heaven's Gate a little over 2 years, about 2 years ago in October. No, it was a year ago, last October. And God sent me back. Because you prayed. So many prayed. God said, he sent me back. And I didn't want to come back. I wanted to go home. Ask anybody who's gone home if they want to come back. They'll tell you no. They may love you, but they'll rather wait for you over there. I am crucified with Christ. We have to experience that surrender, total surrender of will. I was born a very strong-willed young girl. I was the only daughter of the family, firstborn. Strong will. God put it into me. I had to have it. I wouldn't need it. I have to have it now. And that strong will had to be channeled by the Holy Spirit. Because without the Holy Ghost getting hold of it, it would destroy me. Because power is destructive if it's not channeled by God. That's why don't ask God to make you a miracle worker unless you know you can handle it without going to hell. Amen. Amen. Being a miracle worker can take people to hell. In the years that I've served God, I've seen many who have done make great miracles way in the past and not think of anything recently, who were once mightily used by God, but in the end ended up as derelicts. Because pride came in. And we have to be so careful that the more God uses us, the more we realize we are nothing. But as someone said tonight, vessels made of clay of the earth in which God has put his glory. And his desire is for us to go from glory to glory to glory until people lose sight of the vessel and see only the glory of God. And we become so close to him that we are become identical with him, and they see the manifestation of him through our love. That's the best way to manifest God. Not by raising the dead, but by loving those who are dead in Christ. And by loving those who are dead without Christ. So one acorn on the ground, into the ground. But that one acorn will produce so many acorns that you and I wouldn't be able to count them. And that's the way it is with our lives when we give them to God. Because then they're uncontrolled by human hands. They're controlled by the Lord and only by the Lord. They're controlled by the greatness of God and only the greatness of God. God wants us to sign over our lives to him tonight. God says, I love you, but I need you. I need you to die so that you can really live. I need you to surrender all your will so you can have all my will. And believe me, God's will is so much greater than mine and yours. Phew. I think I'm in Africa right now. That's what they do in Africa. Hallelujah. We got the nation's anointing here tonight. In Matthew 10, we read, hallelujah. He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that taketh not his cross. Why do you take a cross? Because you're going to carry it to be crucified on it. He that carries not his cross is not worthy of me. And he that follows after me is not worthy of me. He that seeks to save his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. Can you, as you come, just kneel and pray? If you come, if you've brought your money and your gift, why don't you just stay and pray? Come and just give your life to God. Give him as your gift. The gift of your life. I want you, not yours, Paul said. I seek you, not yours. I praise God for the loving offerings you gave, but I just as soon see you come and say, Lord, I see Sister Gwen's 85. She's getting older. She'll soon be going home, I hope. Coins, you know, they fly further. And I want to take her place. How many of you are willing to come and take my place in the nations of the world? Say yes, Lord. Lord, reveal yourself to these dear hungry hearts. They've come a long way. They paid a lot of money to get here. They bought train and bus fares and plane fares and driven many miles, Lord. It's a hungry America. They've left bills unpaid so they can make this journey, Lord. They've left loved ones, Lord, so they can make this journey. They've given up pay that they could have earned to make this journey. They haven't come to see stars. They've come to meet with you, Lord. Let them have a meeting with Jesus. Jesus, just come down. You told me there were 50,000 angels in this room tonight. Come down and touch your people, Lord. Touch them now, Lord Jesus. I know it's that angelic meeting that makes the heavens open to us. It's nothing that we can say or do, oh God. It's your presence with us, Lord, that makes the difference. Ora hasorolia sida, indra tora la mahina. Yea, I see you weeping, saith the Lord. I see you and I heard you and I watched you searching for the way that you must walk in. You said, I don't want to stay on this job anymore. I know God has something better for me, but I'm afraid to step out. I've got children who will support, and how will I buy the food? You heard the story of the widow woman. There is enough oil in my pot, says the Lord, for the rest of your life. Rivers of oil I'll pour out for you. There is nothing that I cannot do. I'm the God of miracles. I made you.
Well, I am absolutely confident that that fed your spirit. But, you know, I sense that some of you are thinking, oh, my gosh, I don't want to die to myself. It'll hurt. It'll be painful. It'll be hard, whatever. And, you know, we can't be afraid of the dealings of God because there's so much love and grace within them. And if you submit yourself to the love and grace of God, everything's easy. You know, just remember those easy buttons that you can get and think, it's easy. You know, maybe you should get one for yourself. And every time you feel like a little bit of grinding or whatever, think, oh no, I'm being made bread, or I'm dying to myself that I might, you know, manifest, you know, resurrection life. Because it's only the flesh that hurts, right? Your spirit man rejoices. It's your flesh that's being dealt with. It's that carnal resistance sometimes to the Spirit of God. But inside of you is this new life that rises up into resurrection power when the other stuff is out of the way. And I find that the more you focus on that life within, the more you automatically die. And you know, you don't have to be afraid of the process. You just have to reckon yourself as dead. So if you see kind of something rearing up and showing its ugly head that is not of God at all, just say, I call you crucified with Christ. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus did something so amazing on the cross that completed a covenant between God and man. And that means that you died with him at that cross. So you can just remind your flesh, you're dead. And you know, it's a lot easier for you to fall on that rock of the finished work of the cross than to have the rock fall on you, right? And that's something I've learned over time. And I've learned to embrace the disciplines and the pressures of life, even make them work for me. Because all of it brings a bit of death to that self-life, but a resurrection at the same time to the life of God. And that is worth everything. You know, God will love us all the days of our life, whether we do life right or not. But if you want to really live with, like, even as a cracked vessel, so to speak, with all the great oil pouring out through you to the life around you, then why not just embrace those awesome dealings of God? They're love dealings, they're mercy dealings, they're grace dealings. They're wonderful. And he will never do anything to hurt you. He only works for your good. And so, Lord, we thank you right now for these awesome lessons that you're teaching us. We thank you, Father, that you have your hand on us for good, that we might become a fragrant aroma of your love. And Lord, we ask that you would empower us to embrace the cross daily and follow after you, and that we would be perfected in love. Amen. And you know, I'd like to invite you to go to our store. Just go on xpmedia.com, go to store, and there is a big smorgasbord, a banquet full of delicious items that will feed your spirit and refresh you. And one of them that I would like to feature is the Woman on the Frontline CD set that Dr. Gwen Shaw and others such as Heidi Baker and Sharon Stone and Stacey Campbell and James Gall and many other speakers. In fact, there was about 9 speakers that contributed to that event. It was the most exciting event, actually. Woman on the Frontlines Extreme was the most exciting event that I have ever been to. It was power-packed. And you can get all the messages on this CD from the last conference. And also we have it on DVD format. And there's lots of other products available there as well that will make you strong in your spirit, that are seasoned words that I know that you will enjoy. And another thing I'd like to invite you to is to become a partner with our ministry, to help with the broadcast and the ongoing production of these programs. We're believing to take it into more areas. We want to expand our outreach into the nations. You know, we receive so many encouraging letters all the time regarding people whose lives have been transformed and changed. In fact, I just got one this morning from a person whose life was totally, totally transformed because of watching a television program. And so if you could partner with us, pray about becoming a part of our Breaker team. We'd love to welcome you into that team, or to make a really generous donation for the ongoing outreach of this program. We would so appreciate that. And now, just to wrap things up, I want to give you a prophetic word, actually, that is a word for all people, and it's for all time. And it's this: God loves you with an everlasting love. He really, really, really does. You have a great week, and we'll see you next time.